One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors. Great companies like Sun Warrior Plant-Based Protein. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. Enviromedica, makers of Terra Flora. A novel broad-spectrum symbiotic formulated with a combination of spore-form probiotics and advanced food-based ancient prebiotics. Paleo Magazine, the well-being journal, the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorne Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio.
The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition.
Go higher, baby. You're in the right place. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray, Aviana Barrientos, Nevi Mendoza. I've got Troy Gardner in studio with me and Tina Burnett. Got a full studio.
I love it.
Yeah, we do.
Tina just Tina's so strong, she just ripped the mic off the thing. Take a picture and put it out on our story.
That's
look at this.
Wild.
I'm taking a picture now.
I lost a piece.
The microphone literally.
This is the first time this has happened.
It literally detached from the stand.
Yeah, I need. Yeah.
Thanks, maybe Troy.
That's so funny.
The knob.
Yeah, her. She knocked the whole mic off the little. I don't know what you call it.
Somebody,
is the nut up there?
The
is
nuts?
The nut missing?
She's somebody.
She's screwing without the nut.
You're screwing without nuts.
Oh look, here's Diamond.
Nutless
here to our rescue.
Oh, we got it. Yeah. It just,
oh, there you go.
Yeah, the screw was not totally.
The nut was loose.
Okay. Here, you can
the
put
nut
that.
And screw.
Go put the picture out on our story. That's funny. That's see, she's awesome. So strong. That's why
I
she's my trainer.
I yanked it right out.
I have to tell you, Tina, you're such a good trainer. I only train with you 2 times a week, and I'm just see such good results on my body. I really do.
We maximize the time that you're there. That's the key.
Yeah. You know? Well, and I've been drinking too much. I didn't drink for 2 weeks, and now I'm making up for it.
That's how it works, right?
Oh, gosh.
Gotta play catch up.
We had a photo shoot at the house yesterday with just the whole staff for Instagram, just to get some pictures out with my dogs and everything and the whole staff. And I'm not kidding you. Like, we had so much fun. But of course we did, because we blew through like 6 bottles of wine and champagne.
Lovely.
It was awesome.
It was crazy. Crazy, crazy. We each had about a bottle apiece, I think.
I wish I was there.
I know.
I could have just been there for support.
Come hang out.
And
we had so
wine.
Much fun. I've never done that. So we were all in the back bedroom, like changing outfits and laughing and just having a lot of fun. So, yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, I saw some that y'all posted
behind
on
the scenes.
Instagram. Yeah.
Oh, on the
some
scenes, yeah.
Y'all did some boomerang shots.
Yeah.
All y'all looked so cute. Because y'all had these really furry coats and
furry
like
coats.
Bare legs.
Yeah, with nothing
and
underneath.
And booties, you know?
No. Faux fur. They weren't real fur. They were faux
right,
stuff.
Faux fur. Of course. Nobody wears
too.
Real fur anymore.
Yeah.
Huh? Nobody rules. Do people still wear real fur? Well, that's a tongue twister.
I think some people do
that
wear maybe
real fur.
Are ignorant about, not ignorant in general, just ignorant about the cruelty behind
yeah.
it. Yeah.
Well, there would be some major fur shaming going on if people were, I mean, for most people don't, I mean, if I saw someone wearing fur, I'd be like, excuse me, but.
Well, if you saw the way they produced it, you would totally understand that it's horrific.
Yeah.
What goes on. Some animals, especially like over in China and stuff, are skinned alive. Yeah. 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 It's really horrible.
Sickening.
But,
it's
okay,
sickening.
Let's change the subject.
Yeah, something more fun.
Yeah. Change well, lanes.
So there's so many things I want to talk about, but I don't know.
Where should we start?
Well,
we're having a party. Let's start there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's why Troy is here to talk about, he's the chef tomorrow night at his restaurant, V Eats, down in the Trinity Groves area. And so what are you cooking for? What are you making for everybody? And everybody's invited, by the way. It's a meet and greet. We're
going to
have cocktails, rock and roll, some good blues music. We're gonna blow the place out. It's going to be fun.
Can't wait.
I'd like to rephrase that. It's actually a faux meet and greet. So.
Yeah, yeah, it's foamy. That's right.
That's awesome.
Yes, yes.
With so many people. Well, you know, I've got this book. You know, even Oprah's getting involved. She's got she's working with Susie Cameron, or Susie Amis Cameron, who wrote the book, The OMD Plan. It's one meal a day to save your health and the planet. And she says, take the pledge every year at the start of school. We talk about OMD, ask the kids and the parents to consider their level of commitment, blah, blah, blah. But this is some of the interesting facts. So how much do I want to save? It says, eat one plant-based meal a day and save 194,667 gallons of water and 772 pounds of carbon emissions. Eat two plant-based meals a day and save 389,344 gallons of water and 1,543 pounds of carbon emissions, and eat three plant-based meals a day and save 584,001 gallons of water and 2,315 pounds of carbon emissions.
That's so cool.
Good grief.
We just shared amazing. Something like that on our story yesterday from PETA.
Oh, yeah, yeah, from PETA. Yeah, I
did. That.
Well, you know, we had Ingrid in studio a couple of weeks ago for the second time, and I have to tell you, she is an incredible woman. And even if you don't agree with all of it, or you say, oh, I don't want to be a vegan, you don't have to be a vegan, but you can eat a couple plant-based meals a week and just, you know, and just educate yourself about the emissions and all the water that it takes and the land to produce even a pound of beef. So,
yeah.
And then you've got the...
I'll have my first meal tomorrow night.
Your what?
My first vegan meal.
Oh, it's tomorrow your first vegan meal?
I've never had a vegan
meal. Wow. Yeah. I did not realize that. I would have brought food
Troy,
to the studio
no pressure.
Last time.
Oh, well, next time.
This time.
Bring it next time. Yeah, I mean...
Well, people overthink it. I mean, if you've ever eaten a fruit salad, that's a vegan dessert. If you've ever eaten a salad...
I was going to say, you've eaten peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah.
Yeah, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches is your vegan meal.
But I haven't had like a true, like using the meat, whatever the... meat is,
yeah.
You know, well, what, like you're going to be making. Like
this is one of the funny things about vegan meals, though, is that people always assume that they've never eaten vegan, and more than often than not, they've eaten vegan on a regular basis.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just called food instead of vegan
that's
food.
How,
so that's what's cool about it. Like if you ever just do a pasta and marinara, chances are you just had a vegan meal.
You know
that's
what?
The problem is I'm a low carb person, so yeah. I don't eat pasta.
Hmm.
But
if
mainly
because
I don't
marinara.
Like the texture of pasta. Yeah, but I always eat meat. I mean, I'm a meat eater. I hope I don't offend anybody.
No,
but
you don't.
I eat fish and meat and chicken.
There's no judging. That's the cool thing about it. It's and it should go both ways.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of grew up just by virtue of how you know my father never really ate meat. I can remember him talking about it. You know, 40 years ago when I was a little kid, talking about I don't want that in my system and blah blah blah. He would always talk about cucumbers and tomatoes and a cucumber, look at it, you can leave it on the counter and it just rots away by itself and it doesn't stink and all these things. He like put these little seeds he put in my head, no pun intended, when I was a kid. But we ate pasta and Italian bread and salad for dinner 6 days a week. Basically rigatoni was our family noodle, and on Sunday my mother would make pot roast potatoes and carrots.
Yeah.
And I never got any of the meat anyway because my big fat brothers would always eat.
They get it before you could get to it.
They weren't really fat. Actually, my brothers were beautiful men, amazing, beautiful men. And both of them died too young. But they were all into karate, you know, and they had the 6-pack or the 8-pack. And yeah, they were
karate.
Very handsome, very handsome Italian boys with dark hair and blue eyes.
Lovely.
Beautiful.
Yeah, and a killer physiques. Runs in the family,
Did
I guess.
Did everyone have blue eyes in your family, like you?
No. In fact, my two kids hate it. They said, how come Dad has light eyes and you've got blue eyes and we ended up with brown eyes?
I don't understand that. That was something. Like, how's the probability?
Their dad
work?
Has brown eyes?
No, he's got hazel eyes. He's got hazel and I've got blue.
And they both have brown.
But they both have brown.
Yeah. Well, I knew that, but I was thinking he had darker eyes, like he had brown eyes.
Yeah.
No, I guess not. I haven't looked into his eyes.
Well, when's it even
Whoa.
Deep enough to notice. Maybe if he'll ever train with me, I can check out his eye color.
Well, you know, Troy and him used to work together. They've worked together before. They
in the restaurant business?
At American Airlines Center. We had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It was a very cool restaurant there at the time.
We went to the porch swing last night. And Aviana actually has, that's his new restaurant that took over the spaghetti warehouse in the Mesquite area. Mm-hmm. In that, you know, where all the restaurants are on the What side? Is it the east side of 635, I guess? Or the south side?
It is.
North side? I don't know. I get confused. No. Spin me around and I'm lost.
I think that's the north side. It's okay. Northeast-ish because, yeah. You know, 635 swings around and does that weird thing.
Yeah.
Where it's north and south and it's east and west. It's all encumbering.
Yeah. So. Yeah. You got to be careful when you go on 635, go through that area. There's a lot of accidents over there all the time.
Oh, yeah.
I was driving through there this morning and it looked like a third world country that had dropped a bomb. All the side rails are all broken and like there's stuff everywhere. And it's like there's an accident in that area, in that corridor or two every single day.
I believe it. I bet
every day.
More.
I don't know what's going on over there. We call it the triangle, you know, like the 635, the Bermuda triangle. But
well, I'll tell you, the other triangle is that Northwest Highway Tollway intersection, especially right after the tornado, and the traffic was so bad, and people were just going crazy because the traffic was bad, and everybody's rushing and running red lights. You know, we were talking about that the other day.
Oh yeah.
One day there was three accidents in the same spot. Or, no, it wasn't one. It was 3 days in a row. And then one day there was two accidents in that same spot right when people are coming east on from Northwest Highway, crossing over the bridge at the toll road, and then somebody coming from wherever else and hitting right when you get onto the entrance of the tollway. Mm-hmm. It was just crazy.
It's because of the Dallas tollway because it confuses people to death because you're driving and you're not from Dallas and you're like, okay, I've got to take the North Dallas Tollway.
Right.
But I want to take the North Tollway south.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense.
This is actually a great opportunity because we've got so much growth in Dallas. There's so many people here driving. Everybody, chill out. Take a chill pill and
slow down
and realize that there's old people. There's young people just getting their driver's license. Mm-hmm. Like my daughter here very soon.
Oh, gosh.
Dallas is ranked as the third worst city to drive in, the most dangerous. So let's fix that. Quit running red lights. Be courteous. Don't be an a-hole to other people and think that you own the road, you know?
Yeah, amen. People are not aware. I was thinking this when I was driving yesterday because I'm in my car all day long. And it was people are not aware of their surroundings. They're not being defensive drivers. You know, they're not thinking about who's coming up behind them and who's in front of them and who's over there. They're just like tunnel vision driving down the road. I got to get there as fast as I can.
Yeah, it was Daniel's turn.
And I'm going to be totally sexist here. Most of them are young males under the age of 30. You show me somebody driving like a maniac, I'll show you somebody that's male in their 20s and kind of stupid. So, all right, we're going to break.
That means every male under 30.
Your car is a weapon, people.
Yeah, it is.
It is a weapon.
It is, absolutely. So please drive careful. Come on, man.
No kidding.
Careful. We've got a great show coming up. Troy's going to be talking about the modern vegan. Tina Burnett, is your HEC in check? Do you even know
is
what
your heck in check?
Is your heck in check? And I'm not even going to tell you what it is, but you'll want to listen if you want to have a great physique and be healthy. And Jared Ramirez, he is the CEO of Enviromedica. We're going to be talking about, do you need a probiotic? I can't wait. Stay tuned, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio. She leaned and whispered in my ear, cuddling more and driving slow, with no particular place to go. Welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray, Aviana Barrientos, Tina Burnett, Troy Gardner, and Jared Ramirez. He is the CEO of Enviromedica and has spent the last 14 years taking an ancestral approach to whole body nutrition. He develops innovative foundational wellness products that help people achieve optimal health. Always a pleasure. You can find him at Enviromedica.com. Jared, how are you doing today?
I'm doing excellent. Thank you.
Well, we're all full of energy, and I know it's because I take TerraFlora. I took three yesterday, actually.
I just recorded a commercial for Enviromedica because I was having IBS bad for months, like several months, and I've been trying other things and supplements, and nothing helped. And within like less than 2 weeks, I'm back to normal.
Yeah, it's an incredible testimonial. What do you say to that, Jared? Does that make you really proud to be the...
Absolutely. That's great feedback. It's actually going to be a clinical study focus for us this upcoming year.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, everyone talks about probiotics for a healthy gut, but what are the symptoms, actually, of an unhealthy gut for people that really don't know?
That can be really far ranging. You know, our gut is effectively the equivalent of plant roots. So it can affect everything from psychology to skin to digestive abnormalities. It's really pretty far reaching.
Well, you know, and it is far reaching. It is, you know, yesterday we had yesterday we had Dr. Marvin Singh on the show, and he was talking, he was speaking so eloquently, like you, I might add, about the gut microbiome. And there is so much that we don't know, but we do know how probiotics really do work to alleviate these symptoms, because the gut is everything, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, probiotics work from a number of mechanisms. They work to recondition the gut. They work to outcompete bad neighbors. So you can have bad bacteria, you know, what kind of, you know, air quotes around bad bacteria in the gut. And so probiotics are good bacteria that can crowd out bad neighbors.
Well, you know, this is not one of the questions I had planned on asking you, but, you know, people ask me this all the time, and I'd love to hear from you what your opinion is about it. They'll get on an antibiotic, or they say they have to, you know, and then they'll wonder, how should I take probiotics if I'm taking antibiotics? Should I wait till I'm completely off the antibiotics, or should I take them while I'm taking antibiotics? What's your understanding of that?
So it's a very opinionated question. It's a lot of controversy out there in the space regarding how to use probiotics alongside or post antibiotic therapy. I think that they should absolutely be taken, and the right ones alongside antibiotic therapy, of course, with your practitioner's blessing. They can do things like mitigate diarrhea-induced, effects from antibiotics. That's one application. But generally speaking, most antibiotics are very broad spectrum, and the majority of probiotics are going to be decimated if they're taken at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, how do we know if going back to the stomach issues, you know, how do you know if our stomach issues are because of bacteria and not just a bad meal or nerves or something like that?
Well, it can go both ways. So, you know, you said a bad meal, right? So a bad meal can influence the gut bacteria negatively and then send feedback to the brain that says, hey, you know, what you just gave us is not good, and we're letting you know that. So it really depends on the person. But, you know, if your gut is feeling off, there's a pretty good bet that your bacteria are also off as well, and that's sending a signal to your brain.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called the gut-brain axis in medical terms.
Yeah. Well, so can someone expect probiotics to alleviate 100% of their symptoms, their gut issues?
It depends on what symptoms we're talking about, right? I mean, and it depends on the probiotic.
Well, yeah, absolutely, yeah. So I'm looking at Tina, you know, after I asked that, and, you know, she's a great example of the testimonial. I mean, I gave her, you know, you guys were so gracious and gave us samples to give out to people, and I gave her some, and she had incredible results with it.
Excellent. Yeah, supplementation can be very unique, right? There's no, even our supplement Terraflora, you know, I'd love to say that it's great for every person on the planet, but the fact is that there's still going to be unique individualized experiences out there. So, you know, the best thing is just to listen to your body and see what fits best.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I like that yours are shelf stable, because when you have to keep them in the refrigerator, sometimes it's hard. Like, I carry mine in my purse, along with my CBD oil. Those are two of my, and turmeric. Those are some of the things that I take every single day. But so many people, you know, don't understand that either. So what makes an Terraflora such a good product that it doesn't need refrigeration?
So we use a very specific type of microbe in Terraflora. They're basically called spore-based microflora, and they are environmental microbes. So they're not the same microbes you'd find in say dairy cultures like yogurt, things like that. So it's a completely different class of microbes that has a natural resiliency. So they're just they're not affected by heat, light, manufacturing, storage conditions. They're very hardy and can stand the test of time.
Yeah, well, you know, some researchers suggest that our microbiomes are as individual as our DNA. Would you agree?
Very much so. I think that You know, and again, this is just a testament to the fact that the field is still very much at its infancy. You know, we are... Microbiomes can be very unique based on the types of foods you eat, your genetic makeup, where you live, what continent you live on, time of year, seasonality, sleep. I mean, you know, just about everything we do affects our microbiome at some level.
Mm-hmm.
And so everything is going to be unique based on that.
Well, what about antioxidant benefits with TerraFlora? Hello? Oh. I think we lost him. We lost the connection.
Uh-oh.
I hate when that happens. Is he still on the line? Is he still there?
He should be. I'll check on him.
Okay. All right. In the meantime, let's talk about TerraFlora.
You took three yesterday. We were doing our photo shoot.
Yeah, we were doing a photo shoot.
Some pictures.
And I had
so
to keep.
So just kept popping.
So I, kept,
like,
I just thought,
like,
what the hell?
Like
I was,
candy?
You know, well, I've been drinking.
Oh, I have a question for
what?
Jared.
Okay.
I took my TerraFlora and I drank it with wine. Is that okay?
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I don't know. Does it, like, off balance? Who knows?
Yeah.
I guess he's not there yet. All right. We'll continue talking.
I gave my daughter some because she was having the
same issues as you.
And Jill Lane was just saying that it's very genetic. Like, it's hereditary. Like, typically, we give those gut issues to our kids.
Right. Well, you know what's crazy to me is that for years, you know, I remember when we were one of the first people in media talking about the gut microbiome when we had Dr. Blazer on that wrote the book Missing Microbes. And I was obsessed with that book. This was about 7 years ago. You know, people we mess with Mother Nature all the time with medical interventions, starting with delivering babies. Okay, they should be delivered vaginally if possible. Not having a cesarean because of, you know, cosmetic reasons. We don't breastfeed our children, or we didn't. There was a time when it wasn't in vogue. And those are important steps. You start setting up a child's gut microbiome from the moment they pass through the birth canal and then start breastfeeding. And it's fundamental and foundational in all of our health to, you know, come into this world even correctly.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, try to mess with it.
I mean, I had all C-sections, but I had to. Babies won't fit past my pelvis.
Yeah, you know
because
what?
I'm too small.
I almost, you know what? That happened to me.
Yeah, my first one was, she was stuck at her shoulders were stuck at my pelvic bones, literally. And I pushed for 2 hours.
Yep.
And when my doctor cut me open, she's like, there is no baby over 7 pounds fitting through you.
Yeah. No, it does
unfortunately,
happen.
Unfortunately, it just happens.
Yeah.
You know, and some women with breastfeeding, some women.
Right.
They
don't have success.
I didn't produce enough after like I did 4 months with my girls.
Yeah.
And
that's good enough.
Caleb ate so much I couldn't.
Even if they just get
months.
The colostrum at the beginning, you know,
the first couple of weeks, the most important time.
Yeah, absolutely. Would you like to comment, Troy, about colostrum?
Yes. Well, I was just thinking that when I breastfed my child. I didn't.
Oh, my gosh.
I did help, though. I purchased a pump.
Oh, my gosh. You did purchase a pump.
Yes.
You did your
so
part.
So I would like to think that I did my part in purchasing a pump.
Yeah.
And they didn't have, you know, Amazon back then, so you had to actually go in and buy a pump.
Yeah, I remember that. I had this monster big one, I tried to breastfeed, but I wasn't super successful. I didn't. With my first one, I only got to do it like 9 weeks, 9.5, 10 weeks, something like that, because I think I went back to work too soon.
Yeah, well, same
and
way
I was
mean.
Super stressed with my first baby. I was like, what? I mean, I didn't really have my mom around or anyone, and so it was difficult to navigate, but... You know, it's important to have a support system. And I guess we're not going to get Jared back on the line. So I think what we're going to do is we're going to go to break. And when we come back, Troy Gardner and Tina Burnett will get Jared back on here in the next week or so to talk about this, because I feel that it's so important that people get educated about their gut microbiome. So stay tuned, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is the same song I think we picked last time. I love it. What is this? What is this, Diamond?
It's Eddie Money.
Oh, Eddie Money.
It is? What Eddie Money song?
Hey, don't know it.
Hey, oh. That's the name of it. Hey, oh. What's wrong with you guys? Don't you want to have any fun?
Oh, now I know what it
yeah.
is.
Yeah. Welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette, your fun host.
The motorcycle threw me off. The motorcycle sound. I was like, yeah. What? I don't remember this.
I love any kind of music that starts like that, gets you all kind of rowdy, you know.
Ready to jam.
Speaking of ready to jam, if you want to jam tomorrow night with us, meet us at V Eats with Troy. Chef Troy's in studio with us. He has got an amazing restaurant down in the Trinity Groves area. And yes, we got a meet and greet there. And Veg World Magazine is going to be presenting its November, December food issue.
It's really pretty,
which is
y'all.
Beautiful. I have it right here. Here it is, right here.
Gorgeous.
Wow.
Isn't
that
nice?
That looks good.
I know.
Oh,
it's
vegan
beautiful.
Vegan pancakes?
Show
yeah.
them the back page.
So good.
Here's
y'all
the back page. Here's the very back page.
If y'all come to our party, you'll get one and see.
Oh, One Life Radio, Bernadette.
Yeah, that's right. It's a cartoon of me. I think that
that's like the best cartoon of a person I've ever seen. Like,
I know, they really captured.
Like you.
She captured my eyes beautifully.
Really?
She really
looks
did.
Fantastic.
And I think when you do that, you've captured the person. You've captured their soul.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh my gosh. Well, you know, Troy, love having you in studio. And Tina, Troy Gardner is the owner and head chef at V Eats, as I said. V Eats Modern Vegan. In addition to the multitudes of high profile clients and events over the years, Chef Troy has donated countless hours and resources to dozens of charities and for not for profit organizations. He has chosen to specialize in vegan cuisine, not just for the passion of food, but also for his desire for a greener world. Troy is passionate about recreating meaty flavors and textures from plant-based ingredients that everyone will love. His 20-plus years in catering and restaurants have culminated to this pinnacle in his career with V Eats Modern Vegan at Trinity Groves. His website is veats.com and his Instagram is veatsdallas. So great to have you in studio.
Thank you so very, very much.
It's fun. It's really fun to have you here. I love the restaurant business, and I'm not dead yet. I'll probably get back into it.
It's an addiction.
In my retirement years, I see myself having a little cafe and just talking with people and feeding them fresh food made on premise. You know,
I could totally see you doing that.
Oh, I
yeah.
do too.
That's where how I'm going. Well,
when you're like a little old lady,
yeah.
You know, everybody's gonna love me. Bernadette.
Yeah, I'm still gonna be wearing boots though. I don't care how old
booties.
I am.
Yeah.
That's right.
I'm with you on that.
I'm not giving in. I'm not giving up. Okay, so let's talk about where we left off last week. There's so much I want to know about how you recreate these textures, like that shrimp thing that you made is here when Ingrid Newkirk was in studio.
Yes,
let's
yes,
talk
indeed.
About that. I find that fascinating, science and food.
So what I always stress when I'm trying to teach folks how to cook vegan is that anybody can replicate flavor, but the most important aspect of making vegan food really good is the replication of texture.
Yeah, and you eat meat in order to have a fresh understanding, if you will, on your palate of what texture. You remind yourself from time to time, right?
Yeah, if I'm going to make a corned beef and I'm going to do a seitan corned beef, I want to compare it to a real corned beef, make sure that it's spot on, because you really only have one opportunity to try and convince somebody to go vegan or even try the vegan cuisine. And if you fail, then you've kind of failed that person.
Yeah. So. Well, I think that's why No Evil Foods, one of our sponsors, theirs is so great because they nailed the taste, the flavor, and the texture.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a texture person.
Yeah, me too. And they have won multiple awards.
Yeah.
So
spot on.
Yeah, they really have. You know, so let's talk about how you put a twist on vegan food.
Well, what my original idea was is to make a restaurant that is the gateway drug for non-vegans, basically. So it's one of the first vegan restaurants that is actually it's going towards the omnivore client base as opposed to, you know, targeting vegans, because we're an awesome vegan restaurant. Vegans are going to come. So instead of targeting the vegan groups, we target the non-vegan groups and try and push the fact that, hey, vegan's not a bad word.
It's
You can come on over to the dark side, take a little taste.
Well, I think
it won't hurt you.
Yeah, and I think that some vegans just make they get, as I said last week, you know, they get up on this high horse and think that whatever they're eating is better than what everybody else is eating. And some people it takes some years to transition because they don't know. And a case in point, like I'm an incredible cook, okay, and I was looking at some of the recipes in the Dallas Veg World magazine, and I'm not one that likes like a ton of ingredients, and even I would have difficulty with some of these recipes.
Yeah,
you know,
there's a certain complexity, especially if you're trying to start from the ground up and not go full on processed. But the end result is more than worth it. But there's a lot of shortcuts you can do at home. You can
give me one shortcut.
Okay. well, some of the shortcuts is that you can go ahead and utilize some of the amazing dishes out there that are available now. Like you'd said, like Beyond Foods makes a great sausage. Instead of having to make your own seitan from home,
yeah.
You can start with a Beyond sausage, saute it with fresh tomatoes, and make yourself a pasta marinara. And
I'm not crazy about the Beyond one. That's why I like No Evil so much. That's why
gotcha.
I reached out to him. There's something we talked about this last week. There's a reason I don't like that. Like it. And what is it? You told me what it is.
So you're thinking the Beyond Burger, which for me,
I'm
not a big Beyond Burger fan. I mean, it's great for what it is, but they're better.
I like the Impossible Burger.
Yeah,
me too.
Beef
I had one at V Eats when we went last week, and it was amazing.
But didn't you say it's got something to do with horse meat or something? What did you tell me? It was crazy.
So it's the smell of the Beyond Burger and the overall taste for me is really similar to the dog food smell in the 80s when they used a little bit of horse meat.
Which
was not
that's
a pleasant
disgusting.
Thing. But that's not supposed to turn you off of it. Let's not hit, this is the one that's not my favorite. Because, again, it works.
But some people love it. Like Ruben Salinas, he's the one that told me about that sausage.
But the Beyond Sausage is significantly better than the Beyond Burger, I believe.
Why?
I couldn't tell you. It's their recipe. The brat doesn't taste anything like.
Is that the one
burger.
Bill Gates is involved in?
No, Bill Gates is involved actually in. If I'm not mistaken, he was involved in Impossible Foods.
Impossible. Okay.
Yeah, because that was based out of Silicon Valley, where it was called the $1 billion burger when they were working on it.
And the reason that it tastes so this is a little vegan history lesson or just education.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So the Impossible Burger, what they did is they in a lab replicated glubin, which is
heme.
The heme, which is naturally found in basically everything. It's found in vegetables, it's found in meats, and that's what makes the kind of red meaty flavor in ground beef. And they replicated that with vegetable heme, and it's kind of crazy good.
Yeah, it is crazy good, but here's the bad part. Okay, so they pissed off a lot of vegans because the FDA wouldn't pass it until they did this experimentation, and they did it on 17 rats, so people that are big animals.
60.
Oh, 60 rats.
So they did.
That makes me so sad.
So the FDA, there's in order for them to pass a lot of food, because it was considered to be a new food product since it was lab created, and so it needed to be tested before it could pass. And that was actually one of the hurdles for Impossible Foods going into grocery stores and going on the retail level.
Mm-hmm. It's still not available, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Interesting. So, why do we think we get to just experiment with animals? What if a horse said, you know, I'm going to experiment with humans. I'm going to jump up and down and see how many bones I can break when I throw them off the horse or throw them off myself. Yeah. I don't understand why we think, and it's actually speciesism, and Ingrid talks about it at length, and it's just... It's wrong. Would they take, you know, mice and do all these experiments on them and to make them swim until they actually drown? I mean, it's like, come on, why do we have to do that? There's so much more sophisticated ways to achieve scientific goals, and we don't have to experiment on animals.
Yeah, and unfortunately, as a species, we seem to be a bit egotistic.
Oh, absolutely.
So it's...
Well, guess what?
Hopefully we're evolving into something a little better now.
Animals can reason, and I think probably better than us, and at least they follow the laws of Mother Nature. Yeah. So anyway, don't get me started, Troy.
Well, I think as a whole, as a species, we've been evolving, and we treat other people and animals significantly better now than, say, 100 years ago, 150 years ago, or 300
Education.
Years ago.
Education.
So it's getting better.
It is getting better. So, you know, one question, and then we're going to break. Many people think that going vegan is just a trend right now. Do you think that this wave of veganism is here to stay?
Well, it's definitely not a trend. It's a lifestyle evolution. It's kind of like saying democracy is a trend.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, I mean, I love it.
It's been something that's just been growing and growing and growing. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's not going anywhere. It's definitely going to be expansive in the future. And eventually, it's not going to be at a point where you say, oh, this is vegan food or not real food. Instead, I think that the norm is going to be that it's just food. And things that aren't vegan are non-vegan food. So there's going to be a flip at some point.
Well, we're going to take pictures of Tina eating vegan food tomorrow night at V Eats Modern.
Yes, you are.
Chef Troy Gardner, thank you so much. You're going to stay with us. Tina Burnett is coming up. What is your heck in check? Can't wait to know. I can't wait to hear this segment. Stay tuned, everyone. Tina Burnett coming up. You're listening to One Life Radio. To adore you, just go ahead now. One has diamonds in his pockets, and that's a rip now. This that's for you, Tina. Welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray, Aviana Barrientos. I've got Navi Mendoza in studio with me, Troy Gardner, I should say Chef Troy Gardner, and Tina Burnett. Before we get to her content, I want to let you know real quick that you can go to our website, oneliferadio.com, to download and listen to our podcast or subscribe to our newsletter. You can also listen to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify, or you can go to iHeartMedia.com to listen live or download the free iHeartRadio app and listen to us live from anywhere in the world. A big shout out to our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior. You can get it at Vitamin Shop or put it in your smoothie at Smoothie King. Go to sunwarrior.com to check out all of their products. They have amazing plant-based little bars that you carry with you. Blue Blast is my favorite. It's got an incredible profile. Check it out at sunwarrior.com. Of course, EnviroMedico, we've talked about that during the show. Veg World Magazine, Paleo Magazine, Wellbeing Journal, No Evil Foods, Small Batch Vegan, Plant-Based Meats. I get mine at, I said yesterday, I said I get it at Whole Foods and at Natural Grocer. Mm-hmm. I forgot about Target. You can get it at Target too, but they're sold out a lot. But check it out if you want incredible, No Evil Foods makes meat not from nothing but plants. So check it out. It's my fave. And of course, Crazy Water. Call us crazy. We don't mind. I love my Crazy Water and you will too. It gives you all of the essential minerals that you need for a healthy body, mind, and spirit. And so speaking of spirit, I love your spirit, Tina Burnett.
Tina.
I'm trying to hurry.
Person that's called me Tina.
Hey there, Tina. All right, let's get ready here.
That was awesome. The week and a point. Hey there, Tina.
Tina. There you go.
I love it when I make my mess up. I crack myself up. Oh my gosh. So, I love this woman. She's been on the show for a very long time, since the very beginning. She has a bachelor's of kinesiology and she is a certified strength and conditioning specialist. She is certified in biomechanics and she is part of the Aerobic and Fitness Association of America. She's been in the fitness industry for over 30 years and this woman has absolutely changed my body, not once but twice now, and I'm so glad she's back in town. If you need a trainer, I highly recommend Tina Burnett. You can find her at tbfitnesspro@gmail.com or on Instagram at tbfitnesspro. Today we're talking about, is your heck in check? Okay, hormones versus calories. What the heck is this, Tina?
So this is this is actually a great blog that Jade Tita, who I have to reference him because this is his body of work.
Okay.
And he's, I follow him. He's got a fantastic blog. He's at Jade Tita, JADETETA.com. But anyway, so this is about what hormones versus calories, and what matters most between hormones and calories is, a lot of people ask that question. And actually, what he finds is both matter, of course, because calories influence hormones and hormones influence calories.
Say that again.
Calories influence hormones.
Okay.
And hormones influence calories.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
How so?
Well, we're going to talk about that.
I'm very interested. I never even think about my hormones.
So Jade's opinion, his perspective is that hormones matter more, and I totally agree with him on this, and I think most
people that know anything about this would do, because when properly controlled, the hormonal influences on metabolism reduce and even eliminate the compensatory eating reactions typical of a dieting metabolism. So people that tend to use the calories first approach, like eat less, exercise more approach, you have, and what that means when I say compensatory eating reactions, it tends to cause you to fail, because you're basically having to count on willpower when you diet.
Good luck
with
that.
Cutting back on calories, yeah. When you're cutting back on calories and then exercising more, it just kind of sets you up for failure.
Yeah,
you know?
I would agree.
And because one of the things he said is funny, is most people that use that approach end up fatter 2 years later mm-hmm. than they were when they started. And that's a typical yo-yo dieting, because they go on a diet, they cut back way back too much, they restrict their calories, and then they try to exercise more, and then they end up just being, you know, binging and having cravings and crazy, crazy, weird cravings, because they're not doing it the right way. And that's going to more of a hormone-centered approach. So HEC, HEC, when you say what is HEC, what is your HEC in check, stands for H is hunger, E is energy, and C is cravings.
Oh, wow.
So you have to look at all those and keep them in balance. And it basically, HEC in check is a subjective measure of hormonal balance. So once again, and looking at what's important when you look more at a hormone balanced plan for weight loss, weight loss, when you think about weight loss, it relies on willpower, which we talked about, which is mm-hmm. a poor strategy for success. Mm-hmm. But fat loss approach seeks to remove willpower from the equation. So when you're checking to see if your HEC is in check, you got to look at your hormones, cravings, and energy, and you also have to measure your fat loss. So mm-hmm. instead of weighing yourself, and we've said this a million times, it's using your more, you know, either if you have a way to get your body fat checked, or you can just simply use a measuring tape around your waist. So if you're mm-hmm. losing inches, you're losing body fat.
Well, I'm reading here. It says switching to a hormone-centered approach is really not that hard. What does he mean by switching to a hormone-centered approach? I don't ever think about my hormones. I don't think most people do, unless it's a guy.
I think about mine all the time.
You what? Hormones, I mean, men think about their testosterone for various reasons.
Well, no, I guess technically your hormones make you think about.
I mean, so I don't see women going, oh my gosh, I wonder how my estrogen is or my progesterone.
Yeah, people do.
Right?
Yeah, they do. Why do you think women go on hormone supplements and men go on hormone supplements? I mean, and it's not just about your female hormones. It's about cortisol, and that's a big part of
cortisol from stress.
Because we're talking about, you know, how people can reduce their body fat, right? Not just weight loss, it's body fat loss. So some of the things that can impact, like here's some things that can impact, factors that can impact hunger. Low blood sugar triggers hunger, right?
Okay.
So when your blood sugar's low, you tend to get hungry, mm-hmm. okay? And we need to keep that stable. Insulin shuts off hunger in the brain. So if someone becomes insulin resistant at the brain level, that could mean increased hunger.
Wow.
All right. So that's hormone.
It's a hormone.
We're not just talking about testosterone and, you know, men and women hormones. And then there's also leptin, which is a hunger hormone stored in fat tissue, your fatty tissue, and leptin resistance in the brain. Leptin resistance can cause hunger cravings and fat gain.
Well, you know, yesterday we were talking with Dr. Marvin Singh. You're making me think of this, because he said that some of the biggest hormone disruptors out there that can affect your, what did he call them? Obesogenes? I think that was
something
the word
like
he used.
That.
We're getting a transcript. He was absolutely brilliant talking about it. But something as simple as using like a household cleanser that's got a lot of chemicals in it can make you obese and affect your hormones.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of external things that can affect your hormones, but you know, the focus here that Jade's trying to get at is what are some of these things that, if you can keep them in check, hunger, cravings, energy, and cravings, you know, and how to do that. So we'll have to finish.
We're going
to
finish
this
up next time you're on,
because I want to. I've got some good information.
Absolutely, no, this is really good to talk about. I've got a really great joke for everybody to end the show with. Do you know how you make a hormone?
Oh,
I already
it.
Go where
I've
I know where this
is
going.
Don't pay her. Oh. Oh my gosh, I love that. That's okay. An oldie but goodie. All right. I can't believe I just told that joke, but I did. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for being here, Troy and Tina. Always a pleasure. Everyone, you get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there today and make the most of it.